Grace, mercy, and peace unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Loving Father, throughout our lives, we go through so many ups and downs, joys and aggravations, clear sailing and not having a clue as to how to handle situations placed before us. Lord, help us to remember that you are always present in our lives, that you are our true hope and our true salvation in the good and the bad. And as we gather here this day to offer our worship and praise, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every heart will be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today's sermon text comes to us from our second reading from the book of Romans. And it's a fantastic read, and I've always found inspiration from it, since it serves as a source of hope and of guidance in a troubling and very restless world that we have to live in today. Many people, though, I've found out, mix up hope with wishful thinking. We oftentimes say things like, "Wow, I hope I win the lottery." Or, "Geez, I hope the government wakes up soon and quits wasting our money on stupid things." Or, like what's probably going on here right now, "I hope today's sermon is a short one." Remember, that's just wishful thinking. It's not that long. As Paul starts his writing for today, it kind of makes you wonder if maybe he hadn't spent a little too much time in a dark, damp prison cell, and it was starting to confuse him a bit. "Boast in or rejoice in our sufferings," he says. What in heaven's name is he talking about? I don't know anybody who likes to suffer. And on the outside, that appears to be really bad advice. Nobody likes to suffer, but that is a very, very real part of our lives on earth. Things are always popping up, making us think, making us wonder, making us lose our hair and worry. But to truly appreciate the wisdom in Paul's words, "Boast in your suffering," you have to dig a little deeper to learn where Paul is coming from. For Paul, his hope isn't merely wishful thinking. It's an absolute. It's an ironclad certainty about a future that's grounded in God's promises to his people. Listen again how Paul sees life's inevitable struggles. He says, "And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that's been given to us." Amazing words to build your life upon. In this lesson, Paul shows us that how you look at life and what you hang your hat on in life, your faith, makes all the difference in the world. For example, take the story of David and Goliath, the scrawny little shepherd boy versus the battle-hardened giant. In a worldview that we have, we would suspect that David was going to get quite a beatdown. When the Israelite soldiers saw the big man, I imagine more than one of them said, "Good Lord, this dude's big. There's no way we're going to take him down." But on the other hand, I can see David thinking to himself, "This guy's so big, there's no way I can miss." It all comes down to how you treat your life in God, not how your life in the world treats you. As you read throughout the Bible, God made many promises to his people. He promised the world, Noah, that he would never send a flood to destroy the world ever again. He promised a very old Abraham and Sarah, a child, that their descendants would be more numerous than the stars. He promised that by our faith in Jesus Christ and his loving grace, we will someday have eternal life. Paul tells us if we remain strong in faith, in faith in Jesus Christ throughout the sequence of events that are the days of our lives, we certainly won't be disappointed in the end. But we need to take a note in Paul's discourse where hope comes into play. Hope does not come at the beginning of what he tells us. The hope comes at the end. If you want to have hope for salvation, you need to develop a faith, to develop a character that shows the love of God working in your life. That character is something that we develop by enduring the inevitable headaches, hurts, and setbacks that we all face on our journey through life. To help us endure the pitfalls of life, we must live by the words, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to His grace in which we stand." There's an old story of a farmer who had an old mule, and one day the poor animal fell into a dry well, and the farmer heard whatever noise a mule stuck in a well makes. The farmer sized the situation up, and although he felt bad for the old beast, he came to the conclusion that the only way to save it, or the only thing to do that was practical, was to fill the well in and put the old animal out of his misery. So he called his neighbors together and explained the situation, and they agreed to haul in dirt to help bury the suffering animal. But when that dirt started hitting his back, the mule figured out what was going on, and he came to the very swift conclusion that this wasn't going to end well, and he came up with a plan. As the dirt was shoveled in on him, he'd shake it off his back and step up on it. Then he kept going on doing the same thing, shake, step, step, shake, step. The old mule endured until finally, exhausted, battered, bruised, he stepped out of that hole. What looked like was going to bury him, the dirt, was actually a blessing, simply through the way that the mule in our story handled adversity in its life. And that's the type of character that we are called upon by Paul to possess. It's not easy to do, and I admit I'm horrible at it. I'm the king of aggravation and frustration. But as Paul tells us, we need to face our adversities in life not as a problem, but as a possibility. The worries that come along that look like they'll bury us oftentimes may hold within the potential to be a blessing from God in our lives. As followers of Christ, hope is at the center of our lives of faith. Through God's grace and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, we can learn how to turn things around and not succumb to the problems of this world, but endure and work our ways through them. It all comes down to how you look at life and where you put your faith and trust. True hope is knowing that God will always be true to His promises to us for eternal life through His Son. No matter what happens now, our future in God's loving arms is secure. If you look at Paul's chain of events, we see hope awaits at what begins as suffering. It's all part of the process of life. It's a reality that we all must accept, but we must also trust God to see us through. In a Peanuts cartoon, Charlie Brown is talking with his old buddy Schroeder in an effort to make him feel better. Schroeder says, "Don't be discouraged, Charlie Brown. These early defeats help us build character for life, for later in life." Well, Charlie looks at him and asks, "For what later in life?" And Schroeder thinks for a minute and says, "For more defeats." Oddly enough, that is amazingly true. It's a crazy world out there. But if we stand firm on the rock of our faith and live by the promises that God has given to us, we can turn the adversity and the headaches in our lives into triumphs and proudly proclaim, "To God be the glory for all he has done, for all he is doing, and for all he will do in our lives to come." Amen.